This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're now entering Place to Be Nation Sports Lounge. And now, here are your hosts, Roger Morissette, Chad Campbell, Andrew Flanagan, Jeff Machado, and Keith Schmidt.
Come on, girl. Yeah. It's me, Jackie Murray. Give me that look. That's right. Let's get sweaty. Let's get real sweaty. I'm talking rainforest sweaty. I'm talking swamp sweaty. Let's fill a bathtub full of sweat. All right.
Daddy, who wants to love me sexy?
Hello, folks. Welcome to this week's edition of the Sports Lounge. I'm your host, the Cowboy. And as you remember last week, the title of the episode, The Cowboy Rides Alone, you guys had to put up with just about a one-hour monologue from me. The lounge was empty before the holidays. People are out buying gifts. No one's taking care of the girls. The girls getting home. I was in there on the couch by myself. You know, we made the best of it, because that's what we do as sports fans. We make the best of it, and, you know, we talk sports. But I'm happy to say, very happy to say, that I'm not alone in the lounge tonight. The place is rocking. Everybody's spending that Christmas money. The girls are looking good. The cigar smoke's thick. The music's blaring. And I'm here with Trace Amigos, my two buddies. My two guys who are down. They're down all the time. And when they're not falling asleep, they're always here. So first, the combustible one. The guy, he's been tying one on for the last week or so. He's ready to rock. I was just talking to him. He slept through the lounge last week. Left his boy, the Cowboy, out on his own. But it's great to have him back. We're happy Keith's okay and awake. How you doing, Keith?
I'm awake, baby. I am awake, and I am ready to talk some shit tonight, son. Let's get this going.
Keith's ready to talk some shit. And that's good, because we have kind of the godfather of talking shit here. He's been doing it longer than me and Keith were, you know, before we were even in diapers. Talking to those Steelers fans, talking to those Giants fans, talking to those Steelers fans again. You know him, you love him. The straw that stirs the drink here in the lounge. Mr. Cowboy Senior. How you doing, Cowboy Senior?
I'm great. I'm raring to go. It's Black Monday. The playoffs are about to begin. Football couldn't be more in the air than it is now. This is going to be a great show tonight. Let's rock and roll.
Absolutely. I love the enthusiasm here. It feels good. It's like you guys get a little bit of time off, and boom, you're back with a vengeance. That's what we like. So, as you said, let's get right into it. And I want to jump right in. We're talking NFL. This is the Monday after everything's been decided. This is the Sports Lounge playoff preview that you're going to get the best knowledge here than you will anywhere else. We're gonna jump right in. We're gonna talk about the night game, and we're gonna talk about Cowboy Senior's favorite team. It's wink, wink, your Pittsburgh Steelers. So the Steelers, just to throw some numbers out there, Ben Roethlisberger led the league in passing yards, tied with the dead tie with Drew Brees. I don't know how that happens, but led the league in passing yards. The Steelers 10-2 in their last 12 games. Right up there, there's probably four teams in the league right now. You know, I mean, they're out there as far as being hot coming into the playoffs with anybody, with the Packers, with the Cowboys, with the Seahawks, and with our beloved New England Patriots. But the Steelers, I mean, they got it done again last night. It was kind of a back and forth game, as they do, you know. They showed that heart and that character that they've been showing all through the second half of the season, pulling out the close game, making the play when it counts. Roethlisberger, tough quarterback, been there before. There's a playoff-tested bunch, and I think they're formidable. I've been saying it all year, you know, much to the chagrin of Cowboy Senior. I mean they've played better than I even thought they would, but it's really come together for them. And Senior, just are you ready to get off this ridiculous position? You know, you always sound so knowledgeable, and then you start talking about the Steelers and how the record means nothing and they suck. Are you ready to give the team some credit and, you know, say that they're the second best team in the AFC? Because that's pretty clear to the Cowboy, and I'm going to speak for Keith and say it's pretty clear to Keith too. Senior.
Correct. Well, they've been on a nice roll. I give them credit. Finishing the season, winning on their longest winning streak, winning four in a row. You know, if I continue to give them credit here, I'll probably put the kiss of death on them, so maybe I should continue doing it. Obviously, you got to point out one negative going into the playoffs. It's really looking like most likely Le'Veon Bell's not going to play Saturday night. Pretty important player to their team. You know, I'll say one of the top three or four running backs in the NFL all the way around, no doubt about it. Great, great player. So that could be a big loss for them. The Ravens definitely have their shortcomings. Ben should be able to exploit their secondary big time. You would think that maybe they can win it without Bell, because he can just throw the ball all over them. Of course, if you get too one-dimensional, then the Ravens can really unleash the pass rush with Dumerville and T-Sizzle. If you can't run the ball, all of a sudden the game could get that could cover up some of the deficiencies in the secondary. The game could get more interesting. The Ravens, as playoff-tested veteran bunch of guys. Okay, I'm going to start the show off with a prediction and say the Ravens are going to upset them. The Ravens are going to play Saturday night and win. And this is just my hope. What's my name? Cowboy what?
Senior.
Senior. A clutch guy. A guy who's shown us he can do it in the clutch many times in his career. The toughest little guy in the NFL. Senior.
Oh, I love that guy.
Senior catches a game-winning touchdown pass with like 30 seconds left. Man, that would be like a storybook. I'll be jumping through the ceiling wherever I am. So there you go. There's the prediction. Steelers miss Bell on offense. Go to become dimensional. T-Sizzle and Dumerville get after Ben. Knock him on his ass a bunch of times. Throws them off kilter. They still score some points, but not enough. Joe Poole has a good game against the Steelers. Senior catches a game-winning touchdown pass. 23-20, Ravens win. Steelers.
They're going to hold them to 20?
Dogs go home.
All right, all right. See, it's Keith, I'm going to handle this one if that's okay. So
you got it.
So in the last meeting, Senior, I'm sure you watched the game meticulously. Final score, 43-23. Pittsburgh, right? They pretty well kicked their ass. Right? Agreed? In Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What do you think their rushing numbers were without looking at it?
I know, but Bell was there.
What do you think they were?
Oh, just because you're asking the question, I'm sure they didn't run the ball well.
25 carries for 55 yards. Le'Veon Bell, 10 carries for 20 yards. Ben Roethlisberger, 340 yards passing, 6 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Okay, Cowboy, but don't you think that with Bell not there, they won't be respecting the run as much? Don't you think that had something, the fact that Le'Veon Bell is there, and even though that whole adage of it's not always how much you gain on the ground, it's the fact that you do run the ball some. They gave him the ball all those times. They forced the Ravens to play run defense, which set up Roethlisberger with the pass. Not having that, you don't think that affects their passing game any?
I mean, I think whatever running back they have can run 25 times for 55 yards. So I don't see why the game plan changes.
Because the defensive game plan changes. Because there'll be less guys in the box.
Well, yeah, they'll run better.
I mean, you can't tell me that any running back to plug in is as good as Le'Veon Bell. I mean, come on.
Of course not. Of course not. But, I mean, I think the matchup is
let's
perfect.
Let's take it a little further. That game was also Bell, 10 carries, 20 yards. Blount, who's in a much better uniform now, 10 carries, 23 yards. So they didn't even feature Bell that much for some reason.
Because they didn't have to.
Because they had, well, they did carry the ball 25 times because they had ball.
They pounded it out at the end. The Ravens secondary is literally the worst in the NFL. Literally dead last. And I mean, the Roethlisberger has weapons. I mean, Brown is a weapon. Wheaton's a bit of a weapon. Martavius Bryant is probably going to get loose for a long touchdown because the Ravens secondary sucks. The Ravens' key to victory would be to try to pound it out on the Steelers, and their running game has gone to shit in the last few weeks. I mean, they don't really deserve to be in the playoffs. I think the Steelers win this game by 20 points. Keith.
Cowboy, I have to disagree with you, my friend. I really do.
Here we go.
I think Baltimore is the scariest team in the playoffs right now in the AFC. I really hope they lose this week. I hope Pittsburgh beats them because I think they pose the biggest challenge to New England in New England. But just to get to this game here, if Le'Veon Bell is not there, you don't have to worry about the run. You can focus on the pass, and if you shut Antonio Brown down, which is easier said than done, you can beat that team. I've seen it happen before. Tampa Bay beat them. The Jets beat them. I know they're probably the hottest team in the AFC right now, but I still don't think They're as good as their record or as they've been playing. When they play Baltimore, we'll see what happens. Baltimore is built for the playoffs. They're battle-tested. Flacco is usually up to the challenge in the playoffs. We'll see what happens.
I mean, to win the game, Keith, they're going to have to win a shootout. I mean, their pass defense is that bad. I mean, it's, and I'm not saying they can't do it, but if it's a shootout, and I mean, I gotta go with Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. I just have to.
Okay.
The Steelers' defense is not great, but it's better than Baltimore's pass defense.
See. I don't know, man. Torrey Smith, Steve Smith, Owen Daniels across the middle, little Marlon Brown. I don't know, man. I kind of like Baltimore there. I really do. I don't know why, but I'm afraid of Baltimore. I really am. I'm sorry they got that spot. I wanted San Diego, Kansas City, or Houston to grab that sixth spot. Baltimore got in, and I said, uh-oh. I'm telling you, man. They battle-tested, dude.
I mean, Senior talks about bad wins, right? That was one of the big arguments against the Steelers early in the year, was bad wins. Baltimore, the last 3 weeks, they barely beat Jacksonville at home, 20-12, right? Barely beat Jacksonville at home. They got mopped. They got waxed by Case Keenum at Houston, 25-13.
Yep.
And then, I mean, they had to pull the Cleveland game this week with the third-string quarterback who had never taken an NFL snap. They had to pull that game out of the fire. I mean, they're not playing good. And
don't you think that maybe they're one of those teams that the playoff bell rings and kind of a
ding.
Different...
There it comes.
With the veterans they have on that team, these guys know how to show up for the playoffs. And I still say the key to their defense in this game is going to be, I think they really caught a break with Bell getting knocked out and with the fact that LeGarrette Blount walked away from the Steelers, so now they really have nothing at running back. And the team of the game is going to be two guys. It's going to be Doomerville and T-Sizzle. These two guys are going to three years back and just go after Roethlisberger the whole game. And if they can get in his face, which these two guys are very capable of, they've done it before. They're both great pass rushers. They're both veterans. They're going to be real fired up, and they're not going to give a shit about the run. I'm telling you, that can change an entire game. You stop banging any quarterback around, even Big Ben, and it changes the game. It changes the whole dynamic of the game. And we've seen Flacco really rise to the occasion in the playoffs before. He's one of those guys. He can be really clutch. And so can that little wide receiver, that senior guy. I see the
Ravens. That's what I'm trying to say,
kind
too.
Of intangibles. I see the Ravens.
I think if you're going to point to one thing that gives the Ravens a chance, because, I mean, on paper, they should get their asses kicked. And they already did get their asses kicked in Pittsburgh once. Thing you can point to is this Red Sox Yankees throw away the records. These teams completely hate each other. It's the best rivalry in pro football. And if you want to I mean, over the last 10 years, I think it's the best rivalry in pro football. These teams beat the shit out of each other. And if you want to point to that and say you can throw out the stats and throw out the record books, then I think there's a legitimate argument that can be made. But to say that Steve Smith is going to magically outperform Antonio Brown is ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense.
It's going to be Antonio Brown trying to catch passes with Roethlisberger getting knocked on his butt. I'm not taking Steve Smith player than Antonio Brown, but they're not playing against each other either, you know?
I kind of agree with Senior there. Antonio Brown, obviously, the best skilled player in the game, in this game. But, I mean, he's going to have coverage rolled on him.
Do you know who they have back there?
Another guy over the top.
They could literally put all four guys on him, Keith, and not guard him. That's how bad the secondary is.
That's fine, but they still got to play defense. That's the point. I mean, Pittsburgh's defense is nothing compared to what they were. I think their defense sucks. That's why I'm not worried about them. You know, if they were to come to Foxborough, I think the Patriots will whip their ass. Something nice. Their defense sucks. It's terrible. It's awful. It's Dick LeBeau's defense. The same defense it's been for 20 years. But he doesn't have the same players. So, I mean, fine. Yeah, you can throw out that same scheme, but if you don't have the players to initiate that defense to put it in motion, it ain't going to work. Defense sucks. Their defense is terrible.
They played this
right. Pittsburgh's D is terrible.
They played the Ravens twice this year and held them, 26 in the first game, 23 in the second. I mean, I don't think either one of those numbers get it done. We'll see. We can make. No need to stay on it. We're obviously differing in opinions here. I'm going to take Pittsburgh 34-17. Senior, you were on record. Ravens 23-20.
23-20.
Keith, I know you're picking the Ravens to win. Throw a score out there.
I'm going to take the Ravens 27-24. And I'm going to say this. Le'Veon Bell is the key. If he's out, they're done. Pittsburgh's done.
It looks like it's almost a short thing from what they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that didn't look very good. I mean, that they call it a hyperextended knee, but, I mean, I don't know, man. Didn't look good to me.
I think
a couple of weeks.
You can look right to the other side of the field and see why one running back, as good as that running back is, generally speaking, doesn't sink a team if they're out. When, Justin Forsett. Right. If you would have told me at the beginning of the year Justin Forsett would be the starting tailback for the playoff Baltimore Ravens, I would have said, well, who got hurt in week 17?
So, right.
Well, he's a lot better than what the Steelers are going to be putting out.
How do you know? Would you have said that in week 17? The guy Harris didn't look bad.
Yeah, I mean, Justin Forsett had at least had some kind of a track record.
As not being very good.
You know the Steelers that wish they had LeGarrette Blount right now. Right now they are not happy that he's not in their uniform.
Of course. I mean, obviously, I mean, Bell's a great player, but I think it hurts him less in this game than, I mean, if the Steelers win and they have to go to Denver, then I think they really, really need Le'Veon Bell to win that game. I don't think they can win the game without him. This game, because of Baltimore, I mean, Baltimore and the Jets' defense are very similar in that you can't run on them at all, but you can just throw on them all day. And
no, true.
And so I think if the Steelers could pick a game that Le'Veon Bell wasn't able to play, this would be the game. Because it doesn't really matter if he's back there. They're still not going to run on Baltimore. Nobody runs on Baltimore. But
Le'Veon Bell though
changes things.
I mean, he does make. I mean, obviously it hurts, but I think
he catches the ball out of the backfield.
I think it doesn't hurt that bad. I think it doesn't hurt that bad in this particular matchup. And that's just me. You know, hey, we'll see what happens.
Boomer Villain Suggs, baby. Boomer Villain Suggs.
Seniors had the kid, you know. I don't know why you want to be on this side of the fence, Keith, because senior going the seniors way with Steelers picks this year, you'd be about 3-13, I think. So
I'll reiterate it. The only pleasure I'll take out of it if they win is I would love to see these idiots come to New England for the AFC title game. That would be so much fun. I would really love that, but.
If that does happen, and I think there's a distinct possibility that that happens, if you put a gun to my head, I would pick that. I would pick Pittsburgh at New England in the AFC title game, and like I told you last week, they're the one team that worries me because they're when they're hot, they can score, and I don't think they'll be able to stop the Patriots either, but. Unlike some of these other teams, I think on the right day they can score right with the Patriots. And
That Le'Veon Bell is hurt now.
Well,
right?
I mean, assuming he's probably going to be healthy
If he plays, he's not going to be 100%.
I mean, he could
and I personally think Darrelle Revis can take Antonio Brown out of the game. My opinion. I think he can take Antonio Brown right out of it.
It's a hell of a matchup.
So now you got Bryant and Wheaton against Browner and the rest of the secondary. See how that works for you.
Yeah, I mean, Keith.
Now, if Le'Veon Bell is there, it's a different game. Yeah. And he's healthy.
If he hyperextended his knee, he's probably healthy 2 weeks from now or 3 weeks from now, whenever that game.
We'll see. I mean, they said a knee sprain, but I mean, that looked to me like a torn ACL or MCL. I mean,
he said he did not have. There's no ligament damage, is what they said. That's what they said.
But.
Conspiracy theories here on the lounge. So let's.
You saw it, right? You saw it.
Yeah.
You saw
his leg was up in the air. So if it's, I think when they, you know, if you think of like the Dustin Keller hit, the worst of it is when they get hit like that, when the leg's planted and the foot stays in the ground and the knee goes the wrong way. His leg was at least up.
Yeah,
in the air.
Well, that's true. That's
so
true.
It was I'm no doctor, but. The fact he walked off on his own power and they came out and said that there's no ligament damage. Maybe he's not good to go in a week, but if they make the AFC title game, he's probably good to go in 3 weeks if he just twisted his knee. But let's move on to the other AFC game, which is if I'm right and the Steelers win this game, which is what the Cowboy thinks is going to happen. These two teams are playing for the right to go to New England as double-digit underdogs. So we have Cincinnati heading to Indianapolis. I think if you took Indianapolis's quarterback and put him on Cincinnati, you'd have a number one seed right there. But that's not the way. not the way the
not
the way,
way
the
works.
Games are. But I mean, in my mind, both of these teams very, very flawed. Both of these teams exposed a bit toward the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Neither team strikes. I mean, for either team to move past the next round of the playoffs would be a monumental upset. Monumental upset. Regardless of who wins this game and regardless of how they win it, they're going to be at least 10-point underdogs going into New England or Denver, in my opinion. Either one.
Yep, I agree.
Maybe Cincy coming off the win against Denver gets a little more respect. I think that I don't think they frankly deserve it. Dalton, no. Again, he's had two primetime games the last 2 weeks. The Denver game they won, he played awful and got A.J. Green hurt. And then yesterday was just kind of what we're used to from him, which is below average quarterback play. You had one offense that could get things done when it mattered, and then another that can't seem to get out of its own way in the spotlight.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Indy here, and I know I picked Cincinnati to go to the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season. I try to be flexible in my views and kind of frame things based upon what I'm seeing on the field every week. So it would be kind of silly just to stick with some idea that I had since the beginning of the year, even though it didn't make sense now. So I think it's a tough game for Cincinnati to win in Indianapolis. A little too much luck. Indy's D isn't very good, but they're not going to have to be to pull down Dalton. I see Indy in kind of like not that great of a game, just kind of a blah game, 24-17 with Dalton.
Yeah.
You know, Dalton getting the ball back with a minute and a half left and not even getting a first down. that's how I see it. Keith, how do you see this one playing out?
I kind of agree with you. They took a pounding last time they played Indy, but I don't see it that way again. I think both teams are different. They both have injuries, right? T.Y. Hilton's not right. Reggie Wayne, who knows if he's going to play. A.J. Green is banged up. I do like Cincinnati's run game. But I think Andrew Luck can overcome that, and especially being at home, and you know, a little shootout going on there, and I see him like a 24-21 kind of game. But yeah, I don't think both these teams are playing 1 week, and whoever wins is going to get waxed the next week. Regardless of who they play.
And they're similar teams in that they tend to beat up on some of the weaker teams. But
right.
For the most part, when they step up, they lose. With that Cincinnati-Denver game being an exception, but I think all the goodwill that Cincinnati had from that game and all the momentum they had from that game, they gave right back last night against the Steelers. I mean, the way they lost that game was, I mean, that game was on the table for them. They had a legitimate shot to win that game, and they just did what Cincinnati does. I mean, it was A.J. Green fumbling this time, but it seems like they just can't get out of their own way in those big moments. And Luck, on the other hand, is kind of the opposite of that, where he thrives in those big moments. Senior, what's your take?
Well, you know, if I'm game planning for this, and I'm just going to put myself in the seat of Cincinnati game planning for this game, watching how people have beaten Indy, how good teams have beaten Indy, is you just run between the tackles on them, and they have a small defense, and they just can't stop it. And this is something that's, especially in the last third of this season, Cincinnati has really established Jeremy Hill. I mean, you look at this guy, who at the beginning of the year really wasn't getting a ton of run. He ended out with 1,124 yards rushing, averaged 5.1 yards a carry, and what he does is run between the tackles. I mean, I know you look earlier in the season when they lost 27-0 to Indy. I mean, he wasn't even established yet. But I mean, that really is the way to beat Indy. number one, they really have trouble stopping it. You can just jam it down their throats all day long. I mean, of course, we remember Exhibit A twice. We remember Jonas Gray of the Patriots rushing, just running between the tackles for over 200 yards against them and getting on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And last year, we remember what LeGarrette Blount did to him, rushing for I think, 200 yards. Did that same thing, just bang away at him between the tackles. And what that also accomplishes is that gives you ball control, keeps Luck on the sidelines as much as you possibly can. So here I go. I'm going out on the island, and I'm going to say that it's such a simple formula, and playoff football is a little different. It's more physical, and Indy just doesn't have that kind of a playoff football kind of team at all. They're going to get out physical. I know Luck can put some points up and maybe keep them in the game, but if they can't stop the run at all, it's really hard to win a game when you can't stop the run. And I say they can't stop Hill. I say he's on a roll right now. And he has this huge day and rushes for 150, 160 yards. They control the clock for about 38 minutes. And when Cincinnati wins the game, 28-20, somewhere around there. I'm picking the Bengals on the fact that it's just such a huge weakness in that Indy team that they're so, so vulnerable to being run on. And it's become, it wasn't earlier in the season, but it's become a strength of this Bengals team as they've really established Jeremy Hill between the tackles, which is, he also comes up with some big plays too. You know, he not only just grinds out 4 or 5 yards here and there, he's had some long runs this year. He's a really good back. I mean, he can grind it out. He can get you that tough first down, but he's also dangerous. He can bust one anytime, and this is the perfect defense for him to have a great game against. So I say Jeremy Hill runs over Indy, and Cincinnati wins.
Right, senior. Both road teams, Andy Dalton on the road in the playoffs.
I'm not saying Dalton's going to have a whole lot to do with it.
Miracles do happen.
He's not going to have to do much.
If they're
counting on him to win the game, I would say no. But I'm certainly not saying they're counting on Andy Dalton to win the game for him.
And I think what you're saying, senior,
pass once in a while, you know,
that is the path to victory for Cincinnati. And Cincinnati's defense is, you know, they're capable. They've shown it. So you never know. It's not an outlandish pick. I think, you know, Keith and I both predicted a pretty close game there. And again, neither team, I mean, both teams have pretty glossy records, but neither team is overly impressed again when they, you know, for Indy, I have trouble getting that Dallas game out of my head. The Dallas and the Patriots game where they just were not even in the game at all and didn't even show up. I don't think Cincinnati's quite on those teams' level, and that's why I picked the Colts. But Hill could have a big day, and, you know, you never know. So, seniors on the island there. Two road guys in the air.
There you go. Hey, it's the playoffs. You know, the expected isn't always going to happen in the playoffs.
No, I agree. Absolutely.
Stuff happens, yeah.
Absolutely. So, speaking of which, NFC.
There we go.
First game we'll talk about the 3-6 game. Detroit heading to Dallas. Dallas looking to get the playoff monkey off their back. Tony Romo looking to shut up the naysayers. Detroit playing without Ndamukong Suh. Breaking news, if you guys didn't see it. Suh suspended. Suh suspended for trying to re-injure Aaron Rodgers' calf. He stepped on the wrong calf, luckily. But he is he won't be out there. All signs point to a Cowboys victory here. I think it's going to, I mean, I'll be very, very surprised if we don't clean sweep this for the Cowboys. I think they're better in all facets of the game, except the defensive line. And now there is, you know, that's where the loss of Suh really, really hurts Detroit. Is that, you know, their hope in the game was to completely bottle up DeMarco Murray, which, I mean, Detroit's run defense has been very, very good, and make Romo beat him and hope that Romo turns into a pumpkin in the playoff game. Stafford's not playing well enough to win a shootout against this Cowboys offense, and the Cowboys' defense is playing good. Particularly, you know, the secondary's playing good. The much maligned secondary's playing good. I think Calvin will get his. You know, I think Calvin always gets his. I don't think the Cowboys are going to shut them out or anything, but I expect a convincing Cowboys victory. Similar kind of score to the Steelers game, 34-17. I think Dez Bryant does whatever he wants against Detroit's secondary. I think Dez Bryant's the best receiver in this game, which is saying something. And I think I love this Cowboys team. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl the week after they lost to Philly, and I think they're showing why he picked that. When you're in the playoffs, if you can run the ball, you got a shot. And that offensive line allows them to pretty much run the ball against anybody. And I'm just going to get it out there now. I've been telling everybody I know. This is the year the narrative flips, right? If there's one constant in the NFL, it's change, right? And what's Tony Romo known for? He's known for losing in the playoffs, right? And you know, he's never gets credit. The Cowboys aren't just winning this game. They're winning this game. They're going to Green Bay and winning there. They're going to Seattle and winning there, and they're going to be in the Super Bowl. And you heard it here first. I stand by that. They're road warriors. They're 8-0 on the road. They're going to be 10-0 after the playoffs are over.
Wow.
Keith.
Wow. That's a bold prediction right there. I will say this. I'm going to have to eat some crow. Because I remember the last time I was on the lounge here, I called them pretenders. I said the Eagles were going to win the division, and they proved me completely wrong. They're probably one of the hottest teams in the league. Maybe Seattle might be a little hotter, but other than that, nobody's playing better than the Cowboys. Romo's playing well. Murray, even though he's got a broken hand, he's still doing his thing. Dez Bryant is one of the best receivers in the game. The offensive line is still stable. I see a Cowboy victory here. Now, you know, where it goes after that, I mean, we'll see. I mean, either Seattle or Green Bay, they got to go to, and I don't know. I know they're
what? If the Cowboys win, they're going to Green Bay. That's it.
To Green Bay. Okay.
Now,
I will say this. If Aaron Rodgers is upright and his calf is not messed up, I'm going to take Green Bay in that game. If Rodgers is relegated to sitting in the pocket, well, the Cowboys got a chance there, right? Because, I mean, they are playing well. They can run the ball, which Green Bay is not very good against the run, but we're getting ahead of ourselves here. This game here, the Cowboys in, what, Detroit, right? I don't think Detroit has a chance. I really don't. I mean, Ndamukong Suh being out, that's huge. When you consider you're playing the basically the best rushing team in the league, well, the best running back in the league, in Murray. Yeah, even if he's got the broken hand, you take Sue out of the middle. Failey's already gone, right? So, I mean, you're talking about an average run defense instead of one of the best. And I think Dallas will take it to Detroit. I really do. Anything Calvin can do, Dez can do as well. And I mean, this game will probably come down to whoever turns the ball over loses. And if I had to put money on it, I'd say Stafford is going to poop his pants before Romo does. Just because they have a better running game and he doesn't have to throw the ball as much as Stafford's going to have to. That's the way I see it.
And he's a better quarterback. I mean,
he's just a better quarterback. Yeah.
I mean, Stafford, if you watched the Green Bay game this week, Stafford didn't play well at all. And Stafford's pretty inconsistent. He's the kind of guy whose numbers tend to look a little better than what he actually is. And, yeah. I mean, they won games this year with their defense. I mean, their defense and – I mean, they have a good offense, but it's not a great offense. I mean, Romo's having a great season. I mean, really, I mean, you got to give the guy credit. He's having a great, great season.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's probably going to get some MVP votes.
Oh, definitely.
This year.
Definitely.
I'm not one that thinks he deserves it, but, I mean, if you compare this year Tony Romo to the rest of his career, I mean, he's playing above and beyond what he normally used to do. You know, all that whole hold the snap and, you know, all that bullshit that used to come with Tony Romo, you know, he's going to choke in the fourth quarter. He hasn't shown much of that this year. I mean, maybe it's yet to come, but no, I agree with you there. I think he's the better quarterback in this game. I think he's got the better offense. Maybe Calvin Johnson is, you know, if you put him on an even playing field, Calvin Johnson might be better than Dez Bryant. But when you consider the quarterback and the offense they're in, I mean, Dez has got him hands down. And you know what? It's surprising to me because Matthew Stafford now, not only does he have Calvin Johnson to throw to, he's got Golden Tate as well. Golden Tate was a number one receiver last year in Seattle.
No, he's probably Golden Tate's probably
so far this year. He's been better than Calvin Johnson.
I mean, Calvin,
in my opinion,
and I mean Tate or Alshon Jeffrey, I think are the best. You know, maybe Randall Cobb, the best number two receivers in the NFL. I mean, I mean he's a weapon over there, and I mean
absolutely.
And then the Cowboys have Terrence Williams, who is not really much of a weapon, and Dez just constantly beats double coverage, and I think he's just on. I really think Dez is just on, and I've watched a lot of the Cowboys, and maybe I'm just drinking the Kool-Aid or something, but I think he's on another level right now. I mean, I feel like they're the team, they're peaking at the right time, and he just he brings an attitude to that team where I have a hard time seeing them implode like they have in the past because he's just so intense. I mean, I think he wills himself to be the best player on the field. And I mean, he is. I mean, the guy. I mean, again, maybe I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, but the guy is a lot of fun to watch. Like, if you like football, if you're a football fan, you have to love watching him. I mean, he just throw the ball to me, and he makes grown men look like kids with the balls of the air.
Yeah, it's fun to watch him go against like a number one cornerback and just dominate the ball. You know, hey, I mean, it's like a will where he's just got that will where, you know what, that ball's in the air. I'm getting that goddamn ball. You're not getting it. You know, where he just goes up and grabs it. And if he doesn't grab it, he'll knock it down or he'll turn into a cornerback, you know, on them certain throws where maybe the corner's got the advantage on it and he just knocks it down. I mean, he's a great player, man. Dez Bryant is top five receiver in the league. And to be honest, I mean, Calvin might have the name and the recognition and all that, but Dez might be the best receiver in the game right now.
Yeah. Or, I mean,
big-time receiver. I mean, you know, obviously there's other guys you can consider. You know, Odell Beckham this year came on the scene. But, I mean, as far as contending teams, he might be the guy I'd want to throw to.
It's either him. I mean, they're different guys, but I think right now it's either him or Antonio Brown. I mean, they're very different.
Very different. Antonio
players.
Brown's like a video game player, right? Like he's just that freakish talent with like
Marvin
unbelievable.
Harrison. He reminds you more of a Marvin Harrison.
He's better than Marvin Harrison.
Dez is in that T.O. kind of mold, you know, just the physical.
He's that big number one receiver where if you throw the ball up, he's coming down with it. Or nobody's coming down with it. Where Antonio Brown is like, if he catches the ball, you better tackle him, you know, while he's still, you know, mid-flight catching the ball. If you don't tackle him there, if he hits the ground, gets his feet planted, and makes a move on you, he's gone.
Right, Antonio
Brown. He's a punt returner. He's a punt returner and a wide receiver.
Antonio Brown's the best guy in the NFL at getting open. I mean, he catches the ball. Yeah. You know he's double covered.
Right.
And he half the time, like that touchdown.
It doesn't
at the
matter.
End of the game.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
Doesn't matter. There's no one within 5 yards of him. Senior, we haven't heard from you in a while. Who do you like here? Do you have anything to add?
Oh, yeah, to the Dez conversation. Another big, big factor that Dez is to me, there's two guys in the NFL that catch the ball, and they're just this huge factor in the red zone. And that's so important. You know, you get the right amount of times, whether you get 7 or 3 points, he's unbelievable in the red zone. It's him and Gronkowski. I know it's a different position, but those guys are game changers, quarterbacks in the red zone. And that's, to me, that's where I elevate him above Antonio. I know they do different things, but man, when you get into the red zone and you got a way better chance of scoring because you've got that guy, that just means so much to the outcome, especially in close games. It's whoever plays best in the red zone is going to win a lot of times in close games where equal teams, the yardage numbers are kind of equal, but one team puts it in the end zone and the other doesn't. And he's the best red zone wide receiver in the NFL, I think. He is unbelievable. And, you look at what these Cowboys are doing and you watch them. And, you know, I don't mean to jump on the bandwagon, but you've got to really respect the way that they're playing. They're just putting away. I mean, you talk about MVP candidates. They got two of them. I mean, that's probably why neither one of them is going to win it. Romo and Murray are both going to get a lot of votes. And, I mean, you know, everybody's talked about Aaron Rodgers this year and Brady, but who's leading the league in QBR? The highest QBR in the league is Tony Romo. I mean, if you watch him play, he looks different. His whole body language is different. He looks like he's playing with so much confidence. And I guess part of that comes from the fact that you've got that running game. You've got
that running game, right.
Football
in front of you, and he's nice and comfortable. But, man, he is playing with a lot of confidence. He's not making mistakes. He's not turning the ball over. You know, they look really, really formidable. And I don't see them having any trouble with Detroit in this game. Detroit's not good on the road. I know the Cowboys have been better on the road than at home, but, I mean, they're fine at home. I see them winning this game comfortably, and it's going to be a lot of fun if they win this team, go into Lambeau. That'll be matchup of the week next week. That's going to be just fabulous, fabulous football game if it happens. Cowboys at Lambeau against the Packers. I mean, I don't think you can ask for a more entertaining game than that. That is going to be must-see football, classic game that may go down to the wire. That'll just be a blast to watch those two quarterbacks and those two offenses go at it. So, I mean, I'm hoping we're all right for the Cowboys roll over this just so we can see that game next week. That's the kind of game as a football fan that, you know, you kill to see. You know, those are ones that, you know, this is a real special, special game. There's playoff games, and there's special, special matchups, and that'll be one of those special matchups. So, I think the Cowboys are better in the world.
And you bet your ass Seattle would be rooting heavy for Green Bay in that game. Seattle wants no part of this Cowboys team, and they'll beat Green Bay. They'll beat Green Bay by 25 points at home. Green Bay is not a road. I mean, they're a senior brings this up pretty often. They're a lot different.
They're a very average,
great home team, right?
Yeah, and they're a terrible matchup for Seattle. I mean, that's exactly the kind of team. I mean, Seattle already kicked the shit out of them once this year, and I think that's, you know, that's the exact same thing that'll happen. And it's a shame because you have, I mean, I think pretty clearly you have three of the four best teams in the league in the NFC, and I think it's not even close. I think the top three seeds in the NFC and the Patriots are the four best teams in the NFL, and it's not even close. And so you have a team like the Cowboys who go 12-4, where if they're in the other conference, you know, their ticket's pretty much punched for the title game. Well, now they have to go on this crazy run just to get to the Super Bowl. So,
well,
but it is the stuff that it's the stuff dreams are made of, and you know. Like I said, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid with that team. You know, I am.
I want to point about that, it's a shame comment, Cowboy. Hey, we're three Patriots fans here. There's nothing shameful about this. This is great. I'm glad they're all in the other conference.
Well,
I mean, I keep it, you know, we try to keep it nice and the Cowboy, your host has to be down the middle and provided analysis as opposed to,
I will say this as a Patriot fan. I hope there's an upset somewhere along the line in the NFC if the Pats actually make it to the Super Bowl, because I think the Seattle is the absolute worst matchup for the Patriots.
That would be
my opinion.
It would be a great Super Bowl.
I think that's the worst matchup out of the three. Dallas, Seattle, Green Bay. I think the worst matchup is Seattle.
So I heard another argument on this, Keith.
It'd be a historic Super Bowl, though.
It'd be a great Super Bowl, but I just think it's the worst matchup possible.
I mean, it would be the same.
They're probably the worst matchup for everybody.
It would be as historic a Super Bowl as last year when the two number one seeds made it. Right, right. So
yeah, right. Well, I don't think it'll be that bad. An ass whooping.
No,
41-13, but I think, I don't know, because the defense of the Patriots, the strength of that D is the secondary, and Seattle does not throw the ball. They run the ball. You know, if they throw, it's all play action real quick. So I don't know. I mean, that's the worst matchup possible.
So, my opinion.
Speaking to that, though, Keith, the Patriot run defense now is much better than it was earlier in the season.
It is, but they don't do well against running quarterbacks. You know, even Geno Smith had success against the Patriots as a running quarterback. So, you know, I think Russell Wilson would be the last thing they want to see.
So preparing,
it really would.
Just my take on that game, if it were to happen, is, I mean, I think it comes down to one thing and one thing only. I mean, I think Seattle's offense isn't that great. Seattle's offense isn't going to score 40 points. You know, can the Patriots score more than 10 against that ridiculous defense? And I think it comes down to one thing and one thing only, and it's something the Patriots have shown they can do in the past. And they would have to do it here. If they went into the game with a game plan like Denver had last year, they'll get their asses kicked. Spread them out and throw. I mean, they're basically, they're like Denver without all the weapons. You know, I mean, Edelman's not going to take those freaking shots the whole game.
No.
And, But what the Patriots can do that Denver kind of couldn't do last year is throw two tight ends in there and run it down your throat with Blount and Gray and Vereen, and that's the Patriots' path to victory against Seattle. You can run on Seattle, and the Patriots would need one of those games where they control the ball the whole game, and they 8 minute drive, three and out for Seattle, 8 minute drive, it's 14-0 in the middle of the second quarter, and
if they could do that, that'd be fantastic. The thing I'd be worried about is stopping the option offense with Russell Wilson and Lynch. I mean, you say the Pats run defense is better, I don't think it's strength of their team. The strength of their team is the secondary. Revis, Browner, McCourty, and Seattle. I mean, you can take those guys right out of the game. They don't throw the ball. You know, they run the ball, and they run it right down your throat. And if you key on Lynch, Wilson's going to take it off the back end, and run a sweep left. Or, and if you key on the quarterback, then Marshawn Lynch will go right down your throat. That's all I'd be worried about. But now we're getting way ahead of ourselves.
Big time.
Seattle's still got to get through Green Bay and Dallas, that upstart Carolina team. Where'd that defense come from?
Great segue.
Hey, guys.
Great segue.
Hey, guys. So, I remember you guys, at the beginning of the season, you guys were telling me Carolina had the best defense in the league. And I was telling you guys you're fucking nuts. But I'll tell you what, the game I just watched, that defense looked damn well good. Damn good. Against Atlanta, in Atlanta, and Atlanta is no slouch offensively. So that defense looked really, really good. Now,
it's division game. They know each other well. You know, you can throw all the caveats in there, but I'll tell you what, they're playing their best ball now. The last, what, four or five games, they've been pretty good, Carolina. The defense is getting a lot better, looking a lot more like the defense they had last year than the one that was coming out the first couple weeks this year. So you guys, your thoughts?
Yeah, so I think the best team in the South won the division. They're playing the best. They've won four games in a row. Do I think they're a good team? Not really. Atlanta's got a decent offense. I mean, they've shown flashes. Their offensive line is a mess. I mean, they didn't show up for that game. I mean, it was a complete no-show. It was an embarrassment. That game salted away the fact that Mike Smith will probably never coach in the NFL again. That in that bad of a season, you have a chance. You have a chance to save face, at least make the playoffs because everybody else sucks so bad in the division. You can't ask for anything more than that. You have a home game against an under 500 team, and you go out and just get the living shit kicked out of you. It was awful. Cam Newton looks healthy for the last few weeks. He's looked healthy. He's running again. That is huge for them. I mean, he's at the beginning of the year, his passing numbers were okay, but, you know, they weren't really winning games. He's not a guy who is going to excel trying to sit in the pocket like Tom Brady. He needs that threat of the run. And as Senior said with Dez Bryant, Newton is a big weapon in the red zone, and they're getting touchdowns.
Oh, yeah.
They're getting touchdowns instead of field goals. So I think they're the best team in the South. I think they're going to beat Arizona. The game's in Carolina.
I agree with you.
I feel terrible for Arizona, but I guess that's what you get for not having three decent quarterbacks. I don't even think it matters. I don't think it matters. I mean, Stanton's not very good either, and especially if he's hobbled. I think it's tough for me. It's tough for me to see Arizona winning the game. There have been a lot of games like that this year that Arizona has pulled out, but it seems like the pixie dust has worn off here in the last couple of weeks, and this is the kind of game I would go with the home team. And Carolina's home; they're on a 4-game winning streak. Arizona's on a 2-game losing streak. So I think Carolina wins the game, and then regardless of who wins the Dallas-Detroit game, so whether Carolina is going to Green Bay or Seattle, it's the biggest mismatch we've had in the playoffs in the last decade.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. Big mismatch.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I do see Carolina winning this game. Maybe who knows if Arians can pull another rabbit out of his hat, but you think playoff football, you think you play solid defense. Carolina's doing that. I agree that Arizona can play solid defense too. The other thing, you run the ball. Really, Arizona has been running the ball. Carolina's running game has looked really good. The other thing, you know, you've got a quarterback. So Cam Newton is obviously a major threat, at least a quarterback, and can get some things done. Ryan Lindley or a banged-up Drew Stanton. I mean, as great a job as Arians has done, he's going
the hamstring.
Gunfight with a pocket knife, you know. He's really got no chance, so, yeah. Although maybe the chance he has is they make plays on special teams, they keep the scoring down, you know, that whole Arizona thing, and this Carolina team is bad enough to just play bad and maybe turn the ball over and do stupid things, you know. I know they've played well the last 4 weeks, but before that they lost 16, so they're certainly capable of handing it over.
Yeah,
that's Arizona's chance. But either way, neither one of these teams is going to have any chance at all going to Seattle. This is just like a token game where, okay, who's getting sent off to the slaughterhouse, one or the other, you know? I mean, it's really going to be, for a playoff game, it's going to be hard to be real psyched up for it, you know? I'm kind of glad they're starting the weekend off with it to get it out of the way, and then we can get excited about the other three games.
Yeah, with a gun to my head, I think Carolina's going to win the game. And I mean, if they're going to Seattle, I think they'll lose by 30 points. Arizona going to Seattle. If Stanton is healthy, you know, which maybe he would be in a week, their defense is good enough to keep them in that game. Where, I mean, I can see, it would be a big upset, but I don't think it would be impossible. I think they would at least be capable of winning the game because, yeah, you know, that's the Seattle's offense is sometimes not that great. I mean, you saw it this week against St. Louis. The Rams were tied with them 6-6 in the fourth quarter. I mean, if the Rams can do that with Sean Hill, Arizona can certainly do that with Drew Stanton. And then, the ball breaks one way instead of the other and you win the game. I think, but Carolina's defense, you say, is playing better, but I don't think it's playing good enough to hold Seattle down to what you would need to hold. I mean, to beat Seattle, you probably have to keep them at about 10 points if you're Arizona and win the game 13-10 or Carolina, because you're not going to score more than that. And while I would favor Seattle heavily over both of them, I could at least see Arizona having an outside shot to win the game, plus the division game thing. But I just don't think they're going to get past this week. I like Carolina 20-10.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree, Cowboy. There you got to give Arizona a lot of credit, man, for where they are, where they came from. I mean, Carson Palmer went down. I don't know what week it was.
It was early,
but what, it was like week 10, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe a little earlier, and for them to finish where they finished with a backup quarterback, not only did they lose their quarterback, but they lost Andre Ellington, which is the cog to their offense, you know, besides the quarterback. I mean, their main running back, Steph Taylor, is, serviceable, but, I mean, he's not a starting running back in the NFL. And to play in that division and finish where they finished, I give them a lot of credit, man. I really do. But I think the end of the road is here now. I think Carolina takes them at home. But like you said, I mean, you know, regardless of who wins that game, they're probably going to go to Seattle because Dallas is going to beat the sixth seed in Detroit. So they're going to Seattle, get their ass whipped. Even Green Bay, regardless, they're going to go get their ass whipped, whichever team wins this game.
I'd give Arizona less of a chance in Green Bay than Seattle, personally. Just well,
either team.
Yeah. But very good, guys. So we had consensus in the NFC that the Cowboys and the Panthers are going to be moving on. And the AFC, big time derision. Cowboy Senior on an island, and not the island you would expect, on an island with the Bengals.
And oh.
Cowboy on an island with the hottest team in the AFC against the shitty Ravens with the Steelers.
Okay.
So I can't wait. I'm looking forward to Keith, no falling asleep next week, because we're going to, I owe you one. You've gotten me a couple times this year, and I'm feeling really strong about this Steelers pick. You know, Senior gets a pass because he picks against them every week. He's got a he loses all sense of reality when he talks about the Steelers.
Hey, look, I think the Steelers are one of the hottest teams in the league right now.
You did pick the rhythm to lose to
in the AFC.
You picked the Jets to beat them. I remember.
I did pick that. I don't know if I picked Tampa to beat them, but I definitely picked the Jets to beat them. I just think that, they're playing a hell of a lot better than they did when they played the Jets. But I think that Le'Veon Bell thing is gonna hurt bad if he can't play. And even if he plays and he's not 100%, I mean, you can game plan around that, you know. Now, instead of having to defend Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, you can just worry about Antonio Brown, and we can start Le'Veon Bell with three linebackers. I think their run is over if Bell is not healthy.
All right, we'll
and
see.
I don't think he's going to be.
We'll see.
So I don't think he's going to be.
Great analysis, guys. Got very opinionated again. A lot more fun being here with you guys than by myself. I'm noticing here that my drink is empty. My cigar's out. I gotta hit the can. So we're gonna take a little break. And on the break, you'll hear about all the other great content we have at Place to Be Nation. If you're a sports fan, if you're a wrestling fan, if you're into pop culture, Place to Be Nation is the spot for you at placetobenation.com. We're currently running a Best Song of the 90s tournament. Two groups are going up every day. A lot of good stuff there. And Mikey, it's actually
vote for Tupac.
Yeah, definitely vote for Tupac. Definitely vote for it. Please vote for Pearl Jam too, because they might be getting a raw deal too. But it's good stuff. And so on the break, you'll hear about all the other podcasts we have here. And when we get back, Senior Keith and I are going to discuss some of the Black Monday firings, kind of what we see there, and then just have a little roundtable. So hope you're enjoying the show, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. So for the meantime, Cowboy. Everybody know that mine, but baby, everybody know that mine.
If I wasn't married to the streets, it'd be you. Your lips would make you so cute. Love when you poke your mouth out when you're mad too. Say your nimby in my phone under Liverpool. Like your sex, but more in love with what you do. Turn me on how you stab me when we're through. When you get to my own, won't turn you loose. Scared to moan, Ryan, so all I can say is ooh. My favorite panties are yours, the ones that see through. One with the pink trim on them and they light blue. I'm speaking for the goons, thank God for making you. Bust it, baby, is what I call you.
She got me speeding in the fast lane, pedal to the flow, man. Tryna get back to her love. Best believe she got that good thing. She my little hood thing. Ask around, they know us. They know that's mine.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
This is the king of old school, Steve Corino, and you've heard all the rumors, and it's true. The Steve Corino Show is here. We talk about wrestling, we talk about baseball, movies, television, anything you want to talk about. New guest every week. That's right, the Steve Corino Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week you can join Marcus Vandenberg, Big Nasty Alfred Kunawa, and myself on the Kings of Sport podcast, available exclusively on placetobenation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscullo and I talk everything from the Big Four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point, exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
On Richard and the Mailman, we talk about life with great enthusiasm, which eventually leads to disillusionment and inevitably hopelessness. But don't worry, there's lots of laughs along the way. So check us out every week or month or whatever on Richer and the Mailman.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, ProWrestlingOnly.com, Scott Keith blog at RSPWFAQ.net, and PileDriverWrestling.net.
Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me. Back then hoes didn't want me. Now I'm hot hoes all on me.
Before I came up in the game, these hoes didn't show no love. They see me in the club and used to treat me like a scrub. They wouldn't holler cause my dollars weren't swollen up. I bet they changed their mind when them 84s come rolling up. They see that I'm a star, now they wanna sit in my car. Now they wanna call my G's, smoke my weed and sip my bar. Now they used to love to diss me, now they rush to hug and kiss me. Now they telling all their friends when I leave how they miss me. Now 281-330-800.
Hello everybody, welcome back to the Sports Lounge. Hope you enjoyed the break. My drink is refreshed. New cigar.
Mine too.
I was able to sneak away to the stage for a little bit, spend a couple bucks. Keith, you enjoy the break,
yeah,
buddy?
I did. Did you see her swallow up my 20?
That was impressive. She was.
You might have missed that, but
Cowboy Senior saw it. He doesn't. I've heard him say before, he's everywhere. He's everywhere, so he sees everything, you know. But so hope you enjoyed the break, and we're back. So we've broken down the first round of the playoffs, come to a consensus sort of, and now we're going to talk about Black Monday. So we are taping on Black Monday as of now, which is 8:24 Eastern time. There have been four coach firings here in the NFL day after the season end. Jim Harbaugh in San Francisco, Rex Ryan for the Jets, Mike Smith in Atlanta, and Mark Trestman in Chicago. None of these any surprise at all. Kind of all expected them. There were some rumblings over the last couple, over the last 24 hours that maybe Rex would be spared, that Idzik would be canned and Rex would go, but ultimately they decided to let go of Rex as well. So I'd like to start there. We've talked a lot on the show about Rex Ryan, good coach. I think it's a narrative you hear that Rex Ryan's a good coach, and I agree with that Rex Ryan's a good coach. By the same point, I think they probably did the right thing by letting him go. Sometimes it's just not working in a certain place, and both the organization and the individual need a fresh start. So I'll start with that. Senior, how do you feel about that, about the Jets letting Ryan go?
I think they made a mistake. I think Idzik had to go. I still think he put the right people around Rex. He could succeed there. Maybe part of it is I watched their last two games. I watched a lot of the Miami game yesterday, and I watched a game against the Patriots the week before, and those guys on that team would have ran through a brick wall for Rex. Those games meant nothing to them. I know the Pats, it's a rivalry. Miami, it's Miami. They played so hard in those two games because they knew who they were playing for Rex. They knew that this was goodbye. And, I don't know. There's something to be said. What is a head coach's biggest function in the NFL? Okay, you put a staff around you, X's and O's to a certain extent. But, boy, how high of a rating do you give that you're a guy that a team will run through a wall for, that they'll do anything for you? I still say you hear about, that what was going on in the locker room in San Francisco, that a lot of the guys were totally sick of what they were hearing from Harbaugh and everything else, that it had gotten stale, and that whole tough guy attitude wasn't working with them anymore. I'm telling you, you put Rex over there, you put a breath of fresh air, like a guy that's going to stand behind his players and his players are going to love him, that team would be instant contender again. They'd be a Super Bowl contender again. They have the personnel there. And you haven't heard his name come up with San Francisco at all. It's coming up with Atlanta. Other people are saying he may just be a coordinator. Other people are saying he's going to go in the booth. Supposedly he has some kind of an offer there. I mean, Rex is going to do fine no matter what he does. I mean, can you imagine him in the booth? Who the heck would be a better color, more entertaining color man than Rex?
Well, they said he's got $3 or $5 million offer on the table. I mean, personally, if I'm him, with the jobs that are currently open, I think they're all flawed. As much as you say he would improve San Francisco except for one aspect. I mean, that team's married to Kaepernick in the short term, and he's not good enough. He's just not good enough. He's regressing. I don't think Rex – and Rex clearly isn't known for developing quarterbacks. I don't think it's a great situation. I think they're a team on the downswing that hitched their train to the wrong wagon. And some of their best players are kind of on the downside or leaving. And, if I'm Rex, after going through what I did with Geno Smith and Mark Sanchez and Vic and, all these bums, the last thing I'm doing is going somewhere where Colin Kaepernick is the quarterback, and there's nothing I can do about that.
Maybe Matty Ice then.
Yeah, so then I think that's an inherently flawed situation too. I mean, they have Matt Ryan, they have Julio Jones. Their offensive line is putrid, really, really bad, and their defense is the worst in the NFL. Them or Chicago, right, are the two worst defenses in the NFL. And if I'm Rex, what I'm doing, I'm going to the booth. I'm going to the booth, and I'm waiting for the Cadillac job to open up. I mean, unless this is an outside shot, and if Cincy gets waxed by Indy, which is very possible, there were rumblings last year. Do you guys think there's any chance they let go of Lewis? Because that would be a good situation he could go into. I know Dalton isn't that great, but they have a lot more pieces around him than San Francisco does. It's Keith.
Cowboy, I have to disagree with you wholeheartedly. I think San Fran is perfect for Rex Ryan. I think, A, their defense is top five in the NFL. When you consider Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis coming back at full health next year, I mean, that you know, you can say what you want about San Fran's D this year. I mean, Ballin filled in admirably, but, I mean, he just racked up tackles. He didn't do what Willis and Bowman did. I think if Rex Ryan can get that San Fran job with Kaepernick as his quarterback, and they keep somewhat of that receiver core together, you know, I don't think the whole receiving core will stay together. You know, the whole thing, Crabtree, Bolden,
gone.
Davis.
Crabtree's gone. He's a free agent.
Right.
Bolden's 100 years old, and Vernon Davis hasn't caught a pass in 3 weeks.
Yeah, you're right. He hasn't. As a matter of fact, in 6 weeks. But
I mean, but literally he hasn't caught a pass in 3 weeks. Zero.
I think if you gave Rex that defense with that personnel, he would improve it exponentially. It would go to the top of the list defensively. And then if Kaepernick can just run the offense, and you know, hand the ball off to Carlos Hyde, because Gore will probably be gone next year. Throw the ball to Vernon Davis. Throw the ball to whoever's there, Stevie Johnson. Maybe Bolden's still there. Maybe they draft somebody. I think that's the perfect spot for Rex Ryan, because they have that defense.
My opinion.
I mean, he can go to Atlanta, where you already have an offense, which is a pretty prolific offense, you know, when you're talking Julio Jones, Harry Douglas, and Roddy White, and Devin Hester, and Jacquizz Rodgers, and Freeman, and I don't know if Steven Jackson will come back, but yeah, all right, you got the offense, but you have nothing to work with on defense, which is where he shines. Don't forget, Rex Ryan was a great defensive coordinator. And when he first got to the Jets, they had a great defense. Great defense. Once he lost Cromartie, and he lost Jimmy Leonard, and he lost Darrell Revis, all right, the defense started slipping. But, I mean, what's he got to work with in New York? He made their defense was still good this year, and that was with two defensive linemen. That's it. Other than that, he had nothing to work with. That defense, name-wise, garbage. And they still put up a fight against everybody they played. My opinion, give that guy a defense and let him coach. Now, he has to hire an offense coordinator who he has faith in, who can, you know, hey, I run the defense, you run the offense. Boom. But I don't know. I think that's his best possibility where he can prosper. It's going to be right there. I think that's where he's going to end up, as a matter of fact, San Fran.
Senior?
Well, just another little thing. There's a story has come out that both San Francisco and Atlanta have requested permission from the Patriots to talk to Josh McDaniel.
Oh, what a mistake.
Well, maybe he'd be a good guy for Kaepernick. You know, he works really well with quarterbacks. Maybe that's the angle San Francisco's taking. But, yeah, they both have Patriots to talk to McDaniel. The other thing about Rex, I love him. I think Rex is a really good coach. But in all honesty, if he goes in, if he decides, you know what, I'm going to take a break from this next year and take this nice, sweet $5 million offer to go into the booth, he might be so damn popular on TV that he may never leave. I mean, we see how popular.
Well, yeah, like John Gruden, right?
Well, you know how much more entertaining Rex would be than Gruden? I mean, Rex would be...
I get it.
Beyond the knowledge, just the entertainment value, his personality, he'd be like, you know, they're bringing Don Meredith back to the booth or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think he'd be fabulous in the booth, and I think he'd be real, real popular. And if he goes there, he may never leave.
That's a distinct possibility. Well, just like Cower, right? Cower's never come back. And
he's not even that good.
No. If I were Rex, I mean, I think, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but I mean, I think he could probably pick one of these jobs, right? I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think if he really wanted one of these jobs, he could probably have one of these jobs. If I were him, I go to the booth and I wait for one of the Cadillac jobs to open up. Bill Belichick's not getting any younger, right? That job's probably going to be open in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Tom Coughlin's not getting any younger. That's in New York. He would love to freaking win in New York.
yeah, right, with the Giants, yeah. But Cowboy, I have to ask you this, though. Would you want to follow Bill Belichick in New England? Especially when Belichick goes, that means Brady's gone. So would you want to be the guy that follows him?
To a point, I mean, the way the organization's run, I mean, yes. The way the Patriots have run their organization, they've set themselves up, and we talked about it a lot at the beginning of the year, where I complained about it that they don't go for it enough. Well, I think they've set themselves up for life without Brady. Now, is there going to be growing pains? I'm sure.
Growing pains? Is that what you call it?
I mean, if you're Rex Ryan, do you think the Patriots offense without Brady is going to be worse than what he was throwing out there with Mark Sanchez that he took to two title games? I don't.
No, but is it going to be as good as Brady's worst year?
No,
never.
Probably not.
No.
Brady's worst year is about five times better than what Rex has used.
unless you are going from a situation where you're going Joe Montana to Steve Young, Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you don't want to be the guy following the man. You know what I mean? You know what I'm trying to say? Like, you can't do any better than that guy's worst year without a quarterback. You need a quarterback. Bottom line. So, yeah, you can go to New England and hope Jimmy Garoppolo is the answer. But I don't see Belichick going anywhere for three more years as long as Brady sticks around. And then what do you got after that? Do you see Garoppolo sticking around for three more years?
I mean, do you really think...
Or are they going to draft another quarterback and
I don't know.
Hope he turns into Aaron Rodgers?
I don't know, Keith. But I mean, if you make the argument that he should go to San Francisco to that complete dumpster fire...
Well, you call it a dumpster fire. I say this. I know they went to three straight NFC championship games, and it was strictly on the defense. And they lost a lot of their defensive players this year. They reconstructed the entire secondary this year, which didn't turn out too bad. But then they lost their two captains in the middle, Bowman and Willis. Those two guys, I mean, you can put them up with Luke Kuechly and Tommy Davis. You know, who's the guys in Seattle? Bruce Irvin and is it Bruce Irvin? But whatever, Irvin and KJ Wright, whatever, whoever you want to put up with them, they're the best two linebackers in football when they're on the field together. I mean, those guys, they make it tough on everybody. They make the offensive line, defensive line better. They make the secondary better. They're badasses, and they were gone all year. In my opinion, that's why they weren't as good as they were before. Their offense was never a juggernaut. Never. It was always, I'm not going to say like Seattle's, where, you know, Russell Wilson is a better quarterback than Kaepernick. Obviously, 100 times better than Kaepernick. But it was, you know, don't turn the ball over, run the ball, play action pass here and there. Our defense will keep you in the game. And they didn't do that this year. Once they lost those two guys, you know, one went first. Bowman was gone basically all year. And then once made the tackles, filled in for Willis. But, I mean, yeah, tackles are one thing. How about the interceptions? How about the hurries on the quarterback? How about, you know, all that shit?
Keith,
that
was all gone. Without those guys, they were fifth in the NFL in opposing passing yards, seventh in opponent rushing yards. So they were a top 10 defense without those guys.
Okay.
Right?
But now, pretty if you clearly put those two guys in, they're not 7-5. They're 1-2.
Yep, and they're still
30. This is what I'm trying to say.
They're
man.
Still 30th in passing yards. It's just, to me, I mean, what that's for a guy like Rex, I mean, that would be the worst possible place to go because he's just going to the same place he already came from. Really good defense.
No,
and just,
no.
Just, no. What's the difference between that team and the Sanchez teams, except that's the offense on the Sanchez teams is better, like considerably better?
Well, I think Kaepernick's a better quarterback.
Why?
I think he's got a lot more room to grow.
He's growing the wrong way, man. And Rex isn't the guy to turn that around.
Maybe he needs a new offensive coordinator that's going to rein him in and say, hey, we're not going to have you rolling out on every other play. We're going to have you hand the ball to Frank Gore, to Carlos Hyde. We're going to have you throw a play-action pass to Vernon Davis. You said it yourself. Vernon Davis disappeared. Where the fuck did he go, dude? He didn't lose his skills. Where did he go?
I believe they already attempted the least passes in the whole NFL. I'm 99% sure of that stat. I don't have it. Hey, we could argue about this all day.
We can. Hey, look. I'm just saying, if I'm Rex Ryan, you named, what, three different jobs besides the Jets. Chicago, Atlanta, San Fran. If I'm Rex,
Oakland's available.
I'm going right to San Fran, and say, "Hey, hire me. Let's go. I can do this."
I think he's going to the booth. That's my opinion.
You think so? My opinion, he's going to San Fran
because I think off all those.
He's taking one of these jobs. He's taking one of these three jobs right here. Matter of fact, I'm going to say one of two because I believe, my opinion, Mike Shanahan is going to take Chicago's job.
Right. He's the only one that wants
reunite with Jay Cutler. He's the one that drafted him. So we'll see there what happens there. Atlanta, in my opinion, that's a dead man's job. I mean, you've got a good quarterback. You've got a decent offense. But that defense is putrid, dude. That's putrid. Man, I think the Alabama defense is better than the Atlanta Falcons defense.
So Keith's got Rex, so, you know. Rex coaching the Niners next year. Senior.
Yep.
I know what you said. Do you think he should take the Niners job? What do you think's going to happen? I think he's in the booth.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a plus in my the reason I like him in San Francisco is because I think a player's coach could work wonders for those guys' attitudes, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the reason that maybe he's not a good fit there because they have to find somebody who can work with a quarterback if it's possible to straighten Kaepernick out. The guy with every physical tool you could possibly want, but maybe he just doesn't have the brain to play quarterback. But definitely that could be part of the reason they wouldn't want to hire Rex. Might be the biggest reason why they want to talk to Josh McDaniel is they're committed to this guy and they feel like they got to find somebody who can would help him, maybe. And Joshua would look more like that guy than Rick.
Yeah, and McDaniel...
I think I agree with Raj. I think he's going to take the Booth job for a year. Take a year off all the madness. Enjoy himself. Make $6 million, $5 million. Enjoy the living hell out of himself. And I hate to say it because the guy's a really good football coach, but I think he'll be so, if he does do that, he'll be so damn good at it. He'll be so popular. He'll have the capability to make so much money at it that I think he could stay there. He could just do what Gruden did and stay in the Booth because I think he'll be infinitely more popular and better than Gruden. I think he'll be terrific. I mean, the guy, you just watch the guy for an interview for 2 minutes. You know, the guy's just, he's great with a microphone in front of him. You know, he'll be absolutely terrific at it. So, I think Rex goes to the Booth.
All right.
Can I ask you guys a question?
The Booth or Atlanta? I think he could possibly see Atlanta and think, well, I can take that last defense and make it a middle-of-the-road defense. The offense is already in place. They went to the NFC title game a few years ago with all these same guys. He could talk himself into that.
But the division stinks. I could win it.
Yeah. Right. But I think San Francisco is a real long shot. I mean, is it more important for San Francisco to turn their top 10 offense into a top 5 offense, or to turn like their 31st ranked, I'm sorry, defense, or to turn their 31st ranked offense and their young quarterback and to turn that around? I mean, I just think that, I think the Rex effect there would be negligible. And if you watch Kaepernick, I mean, Senior, I agree that you know, maybe some of those guys could use that motivation that Rex provides. But if you watch Kaepernick, it's not a motivation thing. He plays his ass off.
Him.
He'll run through a wall for Harbaugh. He loved Harbaugh. It's just he doesn't have...
guys don't. I know that. I saw everything he said. Yeah, that's because if Harbaugh, I don't think Alex Smith would have won. I mean, if Harbaugh who really committed to Kaepernick, he... That's one big mistake in the Harbaugh career. And by the way, as we're on the air here, I just saw a report that Harbaugh did sign his contract.
Official?
Yeah, I just saw
it. I don't like it. Now we can talk about that. The guy's a good. The guy is a good NFL coach.
History.
He's a good NFL coach, and
well,
I think he could. You know, I would have liked to seen him take one of these other jobs. I thought he would have been a great fit for the Jets. That Jets team reminds me a lot of the Niners team that he took over.
You know what, though? Cowboy, you know, he takes that Jets job, and they don't draft a quarterback in the next 4 or 5 years. He's a sitting duck. He's going to get fired anyway. He takes the Michigan job. He writes his own check there.
It's the difference.
You know what I'm talking
about?
He's going to recruit... He's going to turn that program right back around. I mean, how many kids right now who are looking to go to college are sitting there saying, hey, Jim Harbaugh is the coach in Michigan? I want to play there.
I think he's overqualified for the job is what it comes down to. I don't think he'll do a bad job at Michigan. It's a great, you know, it's a great job for him. I mean, who's your number one college coach before Harbaugh? It was Nick Saban, I guess, right? He runs the most successful program. Couldn't cut it in the NFL, to be honest. Couldn't cut it in the NFL, so he's back in college. Harbaugh can cut it in the NFL. Harbaugh is a...
Yeah, but can he, though? Or did he just come into the right situation?
And you say the quarterback thing. I mean, he came into a situation with Alex Smith. Maybe to that point, because Jamarcus Russell hadn't been drafted yet, the biggest number one pick bust in the last 25 years when Harbaugh took over, and Harbaugh turned him around and turned that whole team around. And you said it earlier, Keith, they made how many straight NFC title games?
Three in a row with him, right?
And I mean, came
three
within,
in a row.
Came within a yep. very short came within a short hair
couple of plays
of winning the Super Bowl of winning the Super Bowl.
Yeah. And, yeah.
I mean, that's not a college coach. And I mean, and you can look at the – if you remember back to when he took over the Niners, nobody said they were NFC title game bound. I mean, they were 5-11, I think, the year before, and looked like they were going nowhere. And it's the equivalent of him taking over the Jets with Geno Smith at quarterback and turning them around to 11-5 in 1 year. It's the
you
same
say thing. That, but like I said earlier, the Jets don't have Patrick Willis, Navarro Bowman.
Well, the Niners didn't have Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson either. I mean, it's the Jets have
no. They had Justin Smith and Alden Smith. I mean, that defense was freaking loaded, dude. That defense was loaded.
But you can't argue with the fact that they had a shit record. And all of a sudden,
this year,
the year before Harbaugh came.
I'm saying the year before Harbaugh, was loaded.
All right, you're right.
They weren't winning with it. They weren't beating anybody. So, yeah, he is a good coach. There's no question.
He's a great coach. I'm not saying he's not a great coach. But, you know, hey, look what he did in Stanford. He's going to go back to Michigan. He's going to be revered. You know, it'll probably take him 2 years, turn that program right around. I mean, you take a big-ass program. I mean, it's not like he's going to, South Carolina State. He's going to Michigan. That's a big-time college program. He's going to make that program better just by being there. Like I said, how many kids right now are sitting there saying, I'm going to college, where am I going to go? I'm going to go to Ohio State. I'm going to go to USC. No, hey, Jim Harbaugh's in Michigan for 5 years. I'm going there.
It just seems to me like he's taking. And no, I don't.
Get a quarterback there,
Keith. Nobody's arguing. I don't think that Harbaugh's going to do a bad job in Michigan. I don't think.
Oh no, he's going to do a great
job.
Your
argument, right? Senior.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely going to do a good job there.
My argument is Bill Belichick would do a great job coaching Durfee High School. Doesn't mean he should do
probably.
It. Doesn't mean he should do
no,
it.
No, right. I
feel
understand.
Like, I feel like
you know what,
he's taking the easy way out. That's just how I feel. And
well, I'm sorry. I haven't heard the details of the contract, but from what I heard so far.
40-something million, I believe.
Right, $48 million or something crazy. Guaranteed money? I mean, why wouldn't you do it, dude? Why wouldn't you? You stay there for, whatever, 4 or 5 years out of that contract, and you wait for Belichick to retire, and you go to New England after that. Or, you know what I'm trying to say? You wait for Jerry Jones to say, hey, Jim Harbaugh, I love you so much. I'm going to give you $50 million more. Come coach for me, you know. I mean, things obviously, since the beginning of the year, we've been hearing about it in San Fran. You know, before the season even started, there was rumblings of people aren't happy in San Fran, right? So, I mean, it was inevitable. He was gone. You know, I mean, look, if you watch the last game of the year, this game against Arizona, you saw his players dump him with Gatorade. They played hard, you know, every game this year. I mean, regardless, last week was ridiculous. I don't know how the fuck they lost that game, but this past game against Arizona, they won. They hit them with the Gatorade bath. They gave them the football. The players loved them. It wasn't, you know, the players didn't like them. It was between him and the upper management.
Yeah. And I don't think no one's, I mean, we've known he's been gone since he's going to be gone since week, 13 or so.
If you remember, Cowboy, it was early in the year they were talking about it.
Yeah. And I mean, once they started losing, that was that. And, you know, I'm not questioning that. No one's questioning that either. Well, all that my point, I think what Senior's point is, it's a shame that a great, borderline great NFL coach decided to not coach in the NFL. And we can just leave it at that. We can just leave it at that. And
I'll just say this, though, Cowboy. Where was he going to go right now?
I mean, he could have picked.
In the NFL where he could actually win. I mean, New York, Atlanta. What's the other one that's open? Chicago. No,
yeah,
those aren't winning situations.
I think he could have won in all three of those places, frankly.
No, I don't think so. You don't have Atlanta, you have a quarterback, but you have no defense. And guess what? Defense wins.
Yep.
That's the bottom line. If you don't have a defense, I don't care how good your offense is. If you can't play defense, you suck. So, I mean, that's the bottom line.
And it's a nice division to be in. I mean, would you be shocked if Atlanta wins that division next year?
I mean, they just came within one game of winning it.
No. But you can win that division all you want. That doesn't mean you're going to compete with the north. You know, the north or the south.
Nobody's going to leave a job and get a job where, hey, I'm going to walk in and take a team that's ready for the Super Bowl. Those jobs aren't coming open. You know, you're not going to get the Patriots.
Well,
or
exactly what I'm trying to say, though. You know, he may be saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to take $50 million.
Well, they weren't a contender, and he turned them into
How much money did he get? Think about that, too. How much was he making at Stanford compared to how much he got paid in San Fran, compared to how much he's going to make in Michigan, compared to how much he's going to get in Dallas in 3 years when Jerry Jones says, hey, come back here.
He could have got as much money from Michigan's going to give him. Of course they would have. They would have paid him.
$50 million? What do you get? I'm pretty sure he got $40 million, right?
Yeah. The Jets would. The Jets, I believe, would have thrown the whole checkbook at him. If he was willing to come.
Yeah. Not $40 million. Not $40 million, guys.
I mean, again,
you guys are crazy.
Again,
you guys are nuts, man.
You know, whether he has $100 million in the bank or $95 million in the bank. Jim, I think trying to say is that you sold out. You took the money in the Cush College job instead of challenging yourself.
Well, I mean, you can call it that if you want, but he's going to be a god in Michigan. I mean, you know, it's like I said, if he went to South Carolina State or, you know, Northwestern or some shit, I get it. I mean, he went to Michigan. That's one of the most prestigious colleges around. Right? And their program has sucked since Brady left. You know what I'm trying to say?
It's a good job.
No, I don't mean...
Right. I think we're beating the dead...
For the people listening, I don't mean Tom Brady made that job, because, matter of fact, he didn't even stop. But anyway...
We're beating a dead horse.
That program has sucked for the last 10 years.
We're going to move on.
If not more.
We're going to move on.
Yeah.
So we're beating a dead horse, sirs. You know,
we are, and I like this horse, too. This horse takes a good beating.
We'll agree to disagree there. Senior. All right. Senior.
Yes.
So the Chicago job opened up as well, and as Keith stated earlier, it looks like Mike Shanahan's thrown his hand in the air saying that's the job he wants. One, do you think that that's a good move for Mike Shanahan? Two, do you think it's a good move for the Bears? Three, do you think it'll happen?
If Shanahan wants to coach in the NFL again, okay, he's familiar with the quarterback. I mean, he's not coming into a great situation, but obviously, again, we're gonna talk about the situations people are coming into. Great situation jobs generally aren't the jobs that open up. So you know that when you take a job, is a building process. I mean, for Shanahan, he wouldn't be coming in with all kind of, you know, with I have to make the playoffs next year or else I am a failure. You know, bad as that situation was this year, if he feels that he can work with Cutler and straighten him out a little bit and get the offense going and stop putting a defense together, yeah, that would be a good move for him. And it's going to take some time, but I think there'd be a certain amount of patience. I mean, you just hit rock bottom. What these people have watched for the second half of this season in Chicago. You go out, if Shanahan takes the job, turns them into a 500 team, gets Cutler playing better, shows some hope for the future, sticks around for 4 or 5 years, and eventually turns them into a winner, which is possible, which is absolutely possible. And, yeah, it would be good. And, yeah, I think it would be a good move for the Bears. I can definitely see it happening. A nice high-profile signing. Get people excited in Chicago about the team again. I think it's positive for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. I disagree with one aspect of what you said, which is the long-term plan thing. So I think if you bring Shanahan's old, obviously, right? I think they're married to Cutler for one more year, right? Where they have to keep him, right, for the most part, either keep him or cut him, where they're eating $15 million or whatever it is, right? So he's going to be their quarterback next year. I think you bring Shanahan in, you try to catch lightning in a bottle, right? If it doesn't work out and Cutler's just too far gone, you definitely cut ties with Cutler at the end of that year, and maybe you cut ties with Shanahan too and go into a full rebuild. Mike Shanahan's not the guy to oversee a full rebuild, but they have a lot of big contracts for guys who aren't that young. Forte makes a ton of money, and Brandon Marshall makes a ton of money along with Cutler. Maybe you go 5-11, 6-10 next year with Shanahan.
Blow it up.
You blow it up. You know, thanks, Mike. It was worth a shot that you could turn Cutler around and maybe we have another couple year window. But I think it's a no risk signing for the Bears because they can blow it up, and they're not putting a young coach's feet to the fire. It's Shanahan. He knows what he's getting himself into. He thinks he can turn it around right now. And I mean, the way they're currently constructed is not going to be around for 4 or 5 years of a rebuild. I mean, they're built as much as it doesn't look so with their record. I think they're built to win now. And
now, yeah.
So, but I think it makes all sorts of sense.
Amazing with the defense to win now because it's so bad.
Well, they had injuries too, which happens to everybody. And you see with the Cowboys that the difference between a putrid defense and an average defense is not that. It doesn't take. Right. I don't think it takes that much in the NFL to go from to go from really, really bad on defense to just middle of the pack. And the Cowboys are winning with middle of the pack because their offense is so good. And if I'm in Chicago, I look at the personnel I have on offense, like Keith was saying, and I say, why can't that be us? Why can't my offense be that good? And maybe Mike Shanahan's the guy to do that. So
that makes sense. That's a good argument. That makes complete sense. If they sign like a 1 year deal.
Right. I mean, even if they don't, I mean, they can always fire you, right?
Anytime. Something that you can tear up. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they can fire you and pay you.
They're going to have to pay him a pretty good chunk of change.
Yeah, I mean, but no, I don't think as much. I mean, he'll command some big money, but not huge. I mean, he was an abject failure in Washington, right? Yeah. And
that was Washington though. In Denver, he was pretty damn good. In Denver,
of course.
Right? So
of course,
and you know what? He has a good track record with Jay Cutler.
Right. Well, he came out and said he wants the job. I mean, asked for it. They didn't. I mean, in my understanding is, I mean, he wasn't even a name you heard brought up, and then he raised his hand and said, "I want to work with Jay." And so you got to think he sees something, and he is a great offensive mind. So I like the pairing, and I think it could be one of those, one of those turnaround stories, especially if you think of the way his team's always blocked. Like, that's one of the big problems is Cutler gets the living shit beat out of him all the time. And if you think about Shanahan, particularly his Denver teams, I mean, they turned 6-round picks into 2,000-yard rushers, and nobody ever got near their quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
And he did it without the world's greatest personnel on the line. So that cut blocking scheme he employs could be effective there.
You think it? You know, you give him Jay Cutler, which he knows Jay Cutler well.
He knows Brandon Marshall well, too.
Along with Brandon Marshall. You know, and along with that, Alshon Jeffrey and Matt Forte and Martellus Bennett, if he comes back, I mean, it's pretty prolific offense. And then you spend your draft capital and or free agency on, you know, fixing that defense, because that defense is one of the worst in the league right now. But, I mean, if they do that, they could contend next year.
Yeah, I mean, they got some pieces they on could. Defense. I mean, Kyle Fuller looks like he's the real deal, the rookie, Kyle Fuller. They signed Jared Allen last year, which didn't work out. But you would think and Peanut Tillman got hurt again. I mean, he's pretty good. He's serviceable at this point.
He's old.
He is old, but so is like Ike Taylor, who's, you know, he gets burned a little bit. But at least he can go out there and compete, you know, compared to what
Peanut comes in and either becomes a safety or a nickel corner. And, you know, you add to that defense. I mean, they're going to have a good draft pick, right? So...
I don't think it's as bad of a job as people think. I mean, I think that that's...
No,
I, think it's a good...
I mean, look, and to be honest, that's a prestigious job in the NFL. Chicago is one of the elite teams, you know what I'm saying? Like
right.
That's
one of the original school. Yeah,
right, school. Right. So, I mean, I wouldn't doubt to see him sign a, you know, 3-year deal, 4-year deal. Yeah, and if it doesn't work out, you fire him, whatever. But I could see him going there and turning that team right around. Like I said, they're going to have a good draft pick. You know, you need a couple of pieces on D. The offense is already good. It should be good. They got good personnel, so...
What was going on there this year
tweaking.
Was just one of those
it
things.
It just needs tweaking.
Well, what you saw this year was that, I mean, Cutler's not the most. I mean, he's not this natural born leader or anything. when things go south in the locker room, Cutler's not the guy who's going to bring you out of it. But if everything's hunky dory in the locker room, I mean, he's a guy who can go out there and throw the ball.
Right.
But I mean, he's a guy when things are bad, you see it all over his face, and he looks like he doesn't give a shit. You know, and I mean, that's basically how he played the whole season.
But I'll tell you what, though. Can you name 10 quarterbacks in the league you'd rather have than Jay Cutler?
Probably right now, yes.
Pretty easy.
Well,
not
you know
with
what
the
I'm
physical
to say,
tools.
I mean,
if you look at the physical...
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I mean, that guy's talented. He's got talent.
He's got a great arm.
He's
got the best arm in the league.
Like the last two quarterbacks.
He's got a million-dollar arm and a 10-cent head. That's what he's got.
And what's more important?
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
More important.
Maybe Shanahan says, you know, hey, when I had him, I could do this with him, and you know.
So for the Jets,
he did. I mean, if you remember when he was in Denver, he was pretty damn good, pretty damn effective.
Yeah, and that's obviously what he thinks, and I think it's a good gamble for Chicago to take. I would do it.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, where else are you gonna go? Unless you blow the whole thing up and trade Cutler. What are you going to get for him?
Money.
You're not going to get anything.
That's what I'm trying to say. I mean, you're not going to get nothing for him.
It's worth a shot. So the last team I want to look at are the Jets. So
no.
I don't know who they're going to hire. I thought Harbaugh would have been a real good fit there. But I don't know who they're going to hire. But they're going to bring in a new GM and a new coach. So I just wanted to talk about the team a little bit. This is for JR, my main man. Jets fan, we're going to talk some Jets.
Sorry, JR.
So I think I don't think this situation's as bad as it looks. I think they're truly a quarterback and a couple of cornerbacks away from being good. And if you look at that that team this year, they were 4-12, but they didn't get blown out very often. They were in almost every game.
No, they were in a lot of games.
And they, you know, when generally you just, you know, they have a quarterback who makes a mistake at the end and they're losing games that way. But just looking at the defense, there are pieces on the defense. The secondary is bad. They'll get D. Milner back. I don't know if he's good or not, but they took him with a really, really high draft pick. What do you, senior? I'm going to get your take on this one because this is my thought that I was thinking today. It's not going to take too much to get Robert Griffin III. What do you think about bringing in Robert Griffin III to New York? He's looked like himself the last 3 weeks or so. He looks like he's healthy again, and he's played well. they have some real weapons on offense. They have a good two-headed running back in Ivory and Chris Johnson. And if Chris Johnson doesn't come back, someone, you know, someone of that ilk, even if it's Bilal Powell. I mean, they have – those guys can run the ball, right? Ivory's a good between-the-tackles guy, and they have either Johnson or Powell is kind of a good third-down-ish type of back. Eric Decker is a good receiver. Percy Harvin is capable of being a great receiver. And Jason Morrow, the rookie tight end, has shown flashes, and Curly is a good slot receiver. So I see weapons on offense, and I see that they haven't been able to put up points because they don't have anybody to get these guys the ball. What do you think of the Jets as a landing spot for Griffin? Do you think it's the right situation?
Okay. I agree with a lot of what you said. I like all those pieces that they have. I like their front seven a lot. So you got to straighten out the secondary. You need a quarterback, even though, you know, if you were to watch them, I mean, we did. We were together Sunday, and we watched a lot of the game, and it was another one of those games where Geno teased you because he played fabulous. But, I mean, he just can't do it with any consistency. I don't know if RG3 is that much better, in all honesty. If I'm the Jets, I'm sitting there on draft day, and I got my rosary beads out. I got everything out saying, I hope teams that are in front of me that are thinking quarterback are real concerned about the off-field stuff with Jameis Winston, because I think he's going to be a tremendous NFL quarterback.
I should have prefaced the question with that, assuming that neither one of those guys falls to them.
Jameis could. I'm telling you, everything you read, the off-the-field stuff to me, which is most. I know he's got the rape thing, but that was never real cool. And all the other stuff, standing up on a table and shouting obscenities and the shoplifting thing he had a few years ago. So a lot of it's honestly just cute stuff. But, you know, you heard bad things about other people before, you know.
Cam Newton.
That's right. And he hasn't been a problem. And I just think this kid has every tool. And you watch him on the field. And there's no question about his decision-making ability, his brain. He plays quarterback really smart. He's big. He's physical. He's got all the tools. He's got a big arm. He can make every throw. He's good on his feet. And I think he's good mentally. He really makes good decisions. I think he's going to be a star. I like him better than Mariota. I think Mariota's going to get drafted first because of his off-field stuff and because he had such a great senior year. But I see in Mariota a lot of things that I would worry about with RG3. You know, he's not real big. He really likes to run around. He's going to take a beating. Can he survive it? Where I see Jameis could just stand in the pocket tall and throw the ball and be just fine and run occasionally. And he's big. He could take the hits. So, honestly, no. I wouldn't go looking for RG3. I would either. I think there's a way that you can get a feel for the draft too, and you put your feelers out there, and if you have to, you don't have to go up that many spots. You put something together and you trade up a few slots and you get Jameis. I think if Jameis would be perfect there, I think they could be a good team next year with him, and you straighten out the secondary, and hopefully you hire a good coach too, because that's something you've lost. You lost a good coach, which I think was a mistake, but.
Unless Winston does something else, I don't see a lot of scenarios where those guys don't go 1-2. I think they're going 1-2. I mean, even if the teams that are up there aren't willing to take them, someone's trading up to get them. If you look at what Washington had to give up to trade up to get RG3, and that's what the Jets are looking at, to move up from 6-2, I think, which was...
I don't think so. I mean, what you're reading...
I think he'll make it to 6.
Neil Kuiper and all these guys, they have people shying away from Jameis. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
But
Tennessee is picking second, right? I mean, they're crazy if they don't take him. I mean, they have to take him, right? I mean, it's... Especially after what happens, we haven't talked a lot of college football, but especially after Florida State wins the NCAA title,
we'll see about that.
It's going to be a great tournament. Looking forward to it.
I love that.
But
kid.
I really like him.
He reminds me of Tom, like Tom Brady. I mean, that's kind of who he reminds me of watching him play.
Whoa!
He's a big, strong kid.
But he stands in the pocket, and he's also at his best when the chips are down. I mean, he rises.
Oh, no doubt. He makes plays in the fourth quarter.
He rises to the moment. I mean, and that's something. Yeah, well, that's something you really want to see. You know.
So. I just want to remind you that Johnny Manziel did that in college too.
They're completely different players.
They're not even close.
I'm just saying. When the chips were down, Johnny Manziel was at his best. I'm just reminding you.
I mean, sure,
I personally think Winston will make it to six. Winston will make it to six. True.
Winston's not making it. I mean, if he makes it to six,
that's a coup.
That's a coup for the Jets. My question was more assuming. You know, generally you have drafts where the quarterbacks are not rated as the top guys. Like I think of the Cam Newton year, right, where he was rated as like the 20th best prospect and he went number one overall. And Jake Locker was rated to go in the third round and he went number nine overall. Christian Ponder's rated to go in the third round. He went number 10 overall or 11 overall. So I think when you have two thoroughbreds, two guys who are – you know, based on talent, I mean, are clearly, I think that, you know, probably the top two guys in the draft. I don't think there's any way they don't go 1-2 with the way it's a quarterback.
Are you saying these guys are Luck RG3? You know, like 1 and 2, boom, boom.
Neither one of them is Luck, but I think they're both RG3, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Luck was just. I mean, Luck's the once in a generation. You know, once every 15 years kind of guy.
I gotta be honest. I don't follow college that much, so.
But
I think Mariota compared.
I just figure there's a defensive end or a left tackle that's gonna slip in that mix.
You never
Maybe
know.
A receiver.
I mean, the thing is, Keith, that what we say it on here all the time. What do you need to win in the NFL first and foremost?
Right.
So
it's quarterback.
So
it's
even
a quarterback,
I think it's pretty clear Tampa's taking a quarterback, right? And I think Winston makes a lot of sense for them because they're in freaking Florida, you know. And I mean, he'll sell tickets. But even if they go Mariota and Tennessee's scared to take Winston, there's going to be somebody who's not scared to take him who's going to give up of the farm to move up to number two to get him.
He's that good, huh?
He's that.
Because, like I said, I don't watch college that much, so
you should tune in. On
I mean, I know their names and I know the stories, but I don't actually watch college football that much. I usually work on Saturday, so
you
work in between.
If you guys are telling me that he's that good, okay.
I think he has all the goods. I think he's going to be a great, great NFL quarterback.
But the question at hand was,
that would be a perfect fit.
Who's going to be coaching the Jets?
I think you don't know that yet. I mean, I think it'll be...
That's the question we were asking, right?
I said we don't know. We don't know who's going to be coaching them. My question was, do you think RG3... Again, I was assuming they're not getting Winston or Mariota because of
you think they're going to trade, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, RG3 is gone, and he's got to go somewhere. And there's not that many destinations, right? The Jets, to me, makes a whole lot of sense. The kid, I mean, he's better than I know. Senior said he's not that much better than Smith. I think he's a lot better than Geno Smith, and I think he's just been hurt.
Oh, I think so too.
He's been hurt, and ACL injuries are weird. Some guys like AP can come back after 8 months and be fine, and other guys it takes a long time. And watching RG3 at the end of the year, it's the first time he looked like the guy who started last year. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's salvageable, but Jay Gruden doesn't want him. So,
I was going to ask you, is it going to be RG3 that goes or Jay Gruden?
It's going to be RG3.
Because I honestly think Jay Gruden goes before RG3.
The organization has come out and has come out behind Jay Gruden to where the common thought now is that and so the organization came out behind Jay Gruden and Jay Gruden came out against RG3, so refused to endorse him. You know, I mean, he didn't want to play him. He only played him at the end because Colt McCoy got hurt.
He had to.
So. I think it's pretty clear. Unless they do an about face that RG3's gone. That RG3's gone and they're going to roll with Cousins or whoever next year. Jay Gruden wants a guy, you know, he was Cincinnati's coordinator, so he wants a guy who can stand back in the pocket and zing it. And that's not really RG3's game.
But, no, he's a guy who needs to be on the run.
Look, yeah, so my thought was...
Well, that's why I'm asking. I think Gruden's going to go.
My thought for the Jets was RG3 makes a lot of sense. In that, you know, in that he's ready to play now. And I think they could do a lot of interesting stuff with him and Harvin on the same team.
Yes.
And
I agree.
A lot of interesting stuff on offense. Well, it's particularly Harvin because they can line Harvin up in the backfield and run the read option and all that stuff. And so,
yeah.
And I think they could be a team, you know, and then draft a cornerback. Even trade down and draft two cornerbacks, concentrate on the secondary on defense. And I think that, I mean, they're a 4-12 team that could very easily be 10-6 next year.
I agree. We'll see what happens with the, if you get RG3, you're going to have to give something up for it.
Not much, you know, honestly. Maybe a fourth round pick would be my guess.
I mean, this is why I say I think Gruden will go first before RG3 because it cost Dan Snyder King's ransom for RG3. So, you know,
sometimes
Snyder
he's that
kind of guy where he's going to sit there and say, hey, he cost me 3 first round draft picks. Fuck you, you're going. I'll hire another coach that can work with him.
Shanahan.
You know?
Right, Shanahan.
Well, right.
Yeah.
But anyway, regardless, great. We've come to the end of the episode, guys. Great banter tonight. I've enjoyed hanging in the lounge with you. We got a lot of football talk in there. And by the time we meet next, seeing you real quick. Who do you think wins? I know Keith's not a huge college guy, but who do you like in the two college games? And I'll make my pick as well.
Okay, I'm gonna agree with you and go Florida State. Florida State, Alabama, and then Alabama wins the national championship.
I got Florida State, Alabama, with Florida State winning the national championship. So,
on all counts because they're going to all be great games.
Oregon's tough. I mean, Oregon
really worth getting excited about. They're all real good.
Oh, I can't wait! I cannot wait.
Yeah,
and by the time we meet next week, those games will have happened, so we'll have a little preview of the title game for you. And a special guest next week, we have Rob Carpenter coming on to join us, talk some football. He's a former receiver, NFL receiver, went to Syracuse and played in the NFL for the Jets, had his best year with the Eagles back in the 90s, very active on Twitter, and he's a football expert, so he'll fit right in with his crew. And we're looking forward to have Rob on, and he'll give us a little bit of a different perspective as the fact that he's not from the New England area, so it's always good to get a little different perspective. Until then, for Keith, the volatile Keith Schmidt, for the straw that stirs the drink, the Pittsburgh-hating Cowboy Senior, I'm the Cowboy, and I'm out. Enjoy the games this week, folks.